Well, welcome to Thought for the Day, where we're continuing today our studies in the book of Genesis. We've reached Genesis chapter 12 and today verses 10 to 20. So before we read that, let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again to thank you for your word and pray that you will open it to us, that you will teach us through your Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis chapter 12 and verses 10 to 20. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know that what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into the palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Well, if you wanted a synopsis of the first 11 chapters of Genesis, it would go something like this. God created perfectly. Man disobeyed completely. The world is a mess. But now here in chapter 12, God is about to change that. He is about to begin a relationship with Abram, and through that relationship to change the course of human history. And that was the good news of yesterday. But today in verse 10, we read there was famine in the land. And surely here we can identify with Abram. We've heard God's call, we've obeyed God's call. We've set out on a life of faith, and then surely we can expect blessing and wealth and happiness and good health. But no, famine. In whatever way famine comes to us, through family pressures, financial insecurity, ill health, bereavement, I'm sure you can add to the list. But Abram must be thinking, God promised me blessings. So now famine. So how does Abraham respond? He prays? He seeks God's will? No. You see, as you and I also are sometimes tempted to do, obedience to God is fine when things are going well, but when trouble comes, the refrain of "the Lord will provide" is often changed to "the world will provide." And off we go, like Abram, to Egypt with our cunningly devised plan. And it's rather good, isn't it? And it's also half true, for Sarai was Abram's half-sister. But you see, it's born out of Abram's doubts and fears. How like us. And we say to ourselves, well, God knows that things are a bit stretched financially at the moment, so surely it won't matter if I'm not entirely truthful on my tax return this year. Like Abraham, we don't deny God. We just conveniently sideline him. Trials come and we go into survival mode. And God? Oh yes, we ask God to bless our ways, but not to choose them. And verses 14 to 17 must have made Abraham feel rather pleased with himself for two reasons. First, he was right. The Egyptians did find his wife a very attractive woman. And second, Abraham prospered. So it must have been right to come to Egypt, surely. After all, I'm merely helping God out. How else could God's promises of a big family and great nations come about. And in a similar vein, are we sometimes tempted to congratulate ourselves as we weave our Egyptian tapestries of half-truths? So, of course, God strikes Abram down with ill health and poverty. No. Abram prospers. Look at verse 16. And Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants and camels. And it's the female donkeys and the camels that are apparently the clinchers, because female donkeys, so I'm told, give a much smoother ride than male donkeys. So if this was the equivalent of Abraham having, if you like, a small fleet of BMWs in the garage. But as for the camels, well, they're only for the super rich, so add in a few Ferraris. But you see, the circumstances of our lives are not the measure of our relationship with God. And it's so often in times of prosperity that God needs to intervene in our lives. And God's intervention comes in verse 17 with three thunderous words, "But the Lord." Pharaoh is indignant. The serious disease mentioned in verse 17 presumably plagued the whole of Pharaoh's household with the exception of Sarai. Even Pharaoh could work out what was going on. And at the end of verse 19, Pharaoh tells Abram, "Now then, here is your wife, take her and go." And in the Hebrew, he says just four words, "Here, wife, take, go." Abram is speechless, the giant of faith reduced to a small man as he slinks out of Egypt, as the pagan Pharaoh puts right the child of God. And from this, we need to learn that when trials come our way, as sure they will, instead of resorting to our own cunning plans or complaining, "Why has God allowed this to happen to me?" we should learn instead to say, "Here is another opportunity for me to see God's grace. I wonder what wonderful things he will do for me this time." It can sometimes take more faith to stay in Canaan in the times of difficulty than to get there in the first place. So if you have responded to God's call of grace, then do you and I really trust God's grace all of the time? Let's pray. The grace of the Lord, like a fathomless sea, sufficient for you, sufficient for me, is tender and patient and boundless and free. Sufficient for every need. Lord, may that be our experience today and in the coming days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.